Dubai Eye
103.8. We want to talk divorce. And before we go into this one, I don't want this to be a negative conversation. We're here to help. We are here to give advice. We're here to try and point you in the right direction. And why are we talking about it now? Because January, love it or loathe it, has become known as Divorce Month. In fact, Divorce Day was yesterday, is that right?
Yesterday, yes. Lawyers say every year they expect more couples to file for the divorce on the 6th of January than any other day of the year. And they say marriages breaking down under the pressure of the festivities are to blame. At least in the UK, in a survey of 2,000 married couples, one in three ranked their relationships as unhappy or only somewhat happy, and that's sort of encouraging them to sort of put an end to that.
Let's bring it back home here to the UAE, where lawyers and experts say it's also divorce month here for a number of other reasons. There's also a topic, this is also a topic that many of you said we should address, divorce, but also its consequences here. It's costly, puts pressure on divorcees as solo parents and as newly single people as well. To discuss this and hopefully shed some light on their experiences, we've invited several great guests into the studio. I'll be introducing them to you shortly. But just to set the scene, let's start with a clip from Golden Globe-nominated Netflix film Marriage Story, starring a certain Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. Their characters Charlie and Nicole want to have an amicable divorce. Nothing nasty for the sake of their son. But when they talk about it, well, doesn't all go according to plan.
You wanted so much, so fast. I didn't even want to get married. There's so much I didn't do.
I wanted to be married. I'd already lost. You didn't love me as much as I loved you. You're so merged with your own selfishness. You don't even identify it as selfishness anymore.
One of the winners at the Golden Globes last night and one of a number of films and series that have come out with the topic of divorce as one of the main themes recently. To talk about divorce on a global scale, but more specifically on a UAE scale, we have brought together three individuals around one table. It's a warm welcome to the legal consultant partner at Hamdan Al Shamsi Law Firm. Ahmed Al Khalil is with us. Ahmed, thanks for being with us.
Hi, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thanks also to relationship, marriage and divorce coach, co-founder of Leaves Dubai, a well-loved and much-respected support group for divorcees here in the UAE. Anne Jackson, thank you very much indeed for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And alongside you, Anne, we've got solo parent who has a six-year-old daughter, now going through a divorce. Alison Rigo is with us as well. Alison, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Not at all. Thanks to you all. Ahmed, I'm going to start with you. We heard there, you know, from a well-known series that's doing the rounds, or film, I should say, that's doing the rounds at the moment. Is there such a thing as an amicable divorce, or are all divorces in some way nasty?
Well, I think the bottom line is it depends on the parties themselves. So, from more often than not, when they come to the lawyers, they're actually they've reached a stage where it's not going to be an amicable one. We still do encourage them to make it into an amicable one because they resolve their matters and they actually have everything set up in place right from the get-go, as opposed to going to the courts, which are not always favorable to one or the other party. But before they get to that stage, we also do recommend some of the times. Actually, I do it personally a lot, and I recommend Anne because she's talking to them on the emotional side before it gets to the legal side. So when they come to us with knowing exactly what it is that they want, as opposed to asking us just how do we do it, it makes our job a lot easier. And we do tend to reach that amicable settlement a lot quicker once they've had those difficult discussions at the beginning.
Yeah, and obviously an emotional roller coaster for all involved. Again, I suppose the question I want to ask you is about every time we use the word divorce, it immediately has negative connotations. Is that always going to be the way?
There is a lot less stigma now than there was 10 years ago when I started. 10 years ago, people wouldn't even admit it. Yeah. The reason I started the group was because I had lots of clients thinking they were the only people going through it, like seeing me on a one-to-one. So I put these people together. But now there's a lot less stigma about it. The negative connotation, I think, comes from the stigma, but also comes from the fear. Anybody going through a divorce, even though they might have known other people going through a divorce, they're fearing the future. So it brings a lot of anxiety. Anxiety is the fear of the future. So it brings loads of anxiety. They fear, what's life going to be like? They've maybe lived 20 years as a couple. It's the same as moving job, but with a lot more stigma. You're moving to a new place. It's change, and they don't know how it's going to happen. And sometimes the finances are involved. Everything is involved in a divorce, everything in your life. And you don't know what your life is going to look like on the other side. And if you can't even imagine it, it's very, very fearful and therefore very negative to a lot of people because it's negative emotions.
As Ahmed was saying there about the emotions as well, sort of he deals in facts in many ways and therefore is looking to sort of tap into the emotions and recommending you. Again, is that something you're conscious? Do you see emotions change over the course of a voice? If people moot the idea of a divorce at the beginning, is there this idea that, oh, we're great friends so we can get through this very amicably?
I have an array of people coming through, but I do have people coming through saying, I want this to be amicable, I want this to be friendly. And as soon as either children or finances or something is put in where they feel like they're losing control and fear comes into it, it stops being amicable. So out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people I've seen, I think I can think of three truly amicable ones, just three, because it just stops. But however, if you can rebalance your emotions and be less emotional when you go and see your lawyer and not expect your lawyer to deal with your emotions as well, then you're going to be more amicable. It's never going to be 100% amicable because you're losing part of your life. And the only people I've seen that have been amicable are ones that are really, really indifferent to each other to the point where they're just indifferent. So yeah, it's a business transaction. But there's very few people where your life, you're indifferent to your life.
Mm. Alison has joined us in studio as well. Alison, thank you so much indeed for being with us. I know it's a tough time for you. You're going through a divorce at the moment. So tell us your story. Why the divorce?
I met my partner 10 years ago in Dubai. And then we did long distance for the first 2 years, which I think is an error when I look back now. But I relocated back. I had a baby and then moved back in 15. My marriage had a lot of abuse and everything that shouldn't be there. But when I moved back in 15, it was a conscious decision to walk away from things I don't subscribe to or believe in. I've been a solo parent literally from day one, but 15 to now, which is 5 years. I can't believe I blinked and it's 5 years already, but it's taken me all this while to even decide that I wanted to file for various reasons. One is I come from India, where I grew up in a country where it wasn't heard of.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town and a family that has no divorce, so there's no benchmark. Also, I think, I'm a little spiritual, and my spiritual upbringing taught me to always try to make things work. But over the last 5 years, I believe that it's very important to raise children. I have one daughter.
Yeah.
Without them being exposed to, all the things I've been through. So my ex-husband or ex-partner, his parents live here. My daughter goes to their house every day. It's not the best. So we don't have the best relationship. But for the sake of the child, over the last 5 years, I've put a lid on many things that I might want to say or feel. Now, if you ask me, why would I do that? Because I truly believe that I put the child first.
Mm-hmm.
5 years have passed. And like I said, I blinked and it's 5 years. I'm now at a point where my child's about to be 7, where she's not 2, 3, 4, where I think kids are still forming a lot of their thought processes. And it was important to me not to expose her to negativity. Of course, as long as I can, but up until 7, a lot of their, who they will be is getting formed. I think they're very important years. But I have now decided to file, and I don't know where this will land. My case is in India, not here, because so I've been providing for her wholly and solely forever, for the last 7 years. And it's worked for him because, she goes there in the summer. We meet, we've got friends and family. There's so much together still,
sure,
but there's no emotion,
yeah,
at least from my end, which means now going to court is going to be challenging.
So when did you take that sort of final decision that you wanted to make this legal?
To be honest, 2 years ago, and I still didn't. I decided in 2017, December, that this was it. But all of 18, and it took me a lot of time to find a lawyer because my case is in Goa. It's not even in a city that I come from. The law of Goa is completely different from the law of all of India as well, because they still follow the European law, which I didn't know about. So I had a destination wedding, not knowing all of this.
Sure.
And I come from a different city in India. I don't have parents, so it's just me and my sister. So I had to, you know, go through friends and family to find the lawyer. Now I have. And I'm, you know, like you said, I'm trying to keep it amicable because I don't want to rock the boat for the child primarily. But I do know it may not go that way. I'm trying to keep fear out of it all because I, like you said, if I'm going to fret and fear and, you know, bring on things that don't exist, they might manifest. So I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and things like this. And the last 5 years, if you ask me, I run a blog page, have been, I'm not going to say easy, but we've managed. We've done well. We've grown. I think growth is the word, you know, where I left a negative space, but I've created a better space for me and my child, I believe, today. Of course, we don't, you know, when you run your show alone financially in the UAE, it's tough.
Yep.
So we don't have fancy holidays. We go back to our home country. But I think if you're happy and you're able to thrive, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's what it really is. So if you look at my child and you meet her, or if you even follow our journey on social media, she's confident. I don't think she realizes. I just said to her that we live in different cities because we work in different cities. She gets to see him every year for the summer. She sees her grandparents every day. And I very consciously don't speak negative things about him because I think that is very important where I'm not influencing her decision.
The Agenda is your opportunity to air your views.
Share your thoughts and join the conversation by text, by phone and online.
Here we go then. We are back with the divorce panel here this morning on The Agenda. We're live on Dubai I-103.8. We've got three special guests in studio, Alison, Anne and Ahmed. We've just been hearing Alison Rigo's story there. Alison, a solo parent of a six-year-old daughter who is going through a divorce at the moment, looking to make it legal. Anne, let's get your reactions to Alison's story because one thing that she picked up on there, or we've picked up on since, is that five-year hiatus, if you like. Is that normal?
Yes. So if you are in an ideal world, it takes 2 years to get over your emotions. It's like grief. So 2 years to get over the grief of splitting up a marriage. And it takes 5 years before you don't even think about it and you can move on. On average, you know, some people take a year and a half and some 4.5 years, but on average. So to go and have a divorce after 5 years, if you could possibly do that and you can trust each other and nothing's going to go wrong in the meantime, that's the ideal. So she's actually done the ideal. But very few people can do that because a lot of fear comes in. They think, well, he's going to run away with my fortune. She's going to run away with my children or vice versa. So very few people can do that. But the more time you can put between you two and the situation before you go to the courts, the better psychologically and emotionally, and the better for the outcome in the long run. The people who get bad outcomes, who go to courts, like they run to court without thinking, what do I need? What do I want? What is life going to look like? And they run to court and they hand it over to a lawyer or a judge and they say, kind of save me. That's when you get bad outcomes. You're handing your life over to someone else.
Mm. Can we just deal with this whole tag of divorce month as well? I mean, is it a fair tag to give January? Poor old January. It's got enough tags with it at the moment, the beginning of the year. But is there something in that?
It's totally fair. My phone's on fire at the moment. And it comes from the celebrations and the festivities in December, not just if you're Christian and Christmas. It's not really about that. New Year's, as my daughter says, is the best celebration in the whole world because you put away your culture, you put away your religion, and the whole world celebrates New Year's. And so everybody is happy. And if you're not and you're living under this strain of not being happy, it just gets really, really heavy. And suddenly in January, you burst. You say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Even if the strain has come from 2 years beforehand or August or some other time, those festivities and looking and seeing everybody happy around you, you just burst. So January, you burst. You come back and you're like, I cannot live this life anymore. It's not for me.
And is that borne out as well, Ahmed, by sort of cases that are being seen at the moment?
Yeah, so what we've seen of late, I mean, as early as the 2nd of January, we've had clients who have filed and the date for the first court session is actually on the 25th of February.
Wow.
So it's 2 months in advance. So that just gives you a bit of an idea of how inundated the courts are with at least the preliminary stages of divorce cases.
Can I just dispel a couple of myths as well, attempt to dispel a couple of myths with regards to this? You know, there will be those naysayers, dare I say there are a few naysayers out there listening in at the moment, saying, yeah, but surely it's in a lawyer's interest to get a couple into court because that's in their interest. That's what pays the bills. That's what makes the partnership successful, etc. Is that the case, or do lawyers work to avoid getting to court?
Well, it's I can't really generalize on one or the other, but
sure.
From the ones that I have dealt with, I'd say maybe eight times out of 10, the lawyers do want to settle out of court, because it's I know it's counterintuitive, because at the end of the day, we still need to pay the bills, but it's a matter of the emotional side and the human side of, it has to be a balance,
sure.
Ethics. The doctors have the Hippocratic oath. We have something similar in that we also have to make sure that we're giving the client what is in their best interest. And more often than not, it's not going to the courts, because the courts, the problem with them is, we have the law and it should be binary. But some of the times the courts don't actually give you what you want.
Mm.
Whereas when you're going to the settlement agreement, it feels like more of a win, because both parties already know going into that settlement agreement what they're going to get out of it. Whereas the courts, we always tell them, we don't know. This is what the law will say, but the courts are the final adjudicator and it's their decision. So it is in our interest, but it's just a balance. Some of the times you look at the case,
you can't
and you're
be
like,
emotionless on these things.
Yes, exactly.
You
have to bring in a bit of emotion. At the end of the day, it's your client.
Mm.
And if you just see them as a number, then that's something that speaks about your personal agenda, as
yeah.
opposed to what you should be doing. There are far too many sharks in this ocean, so you try to do good by people.
Yeah. I got my mind set.
This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart.
Where opinions matter.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Lots of lovely comments coming through from listeners out there this morning. Lisa, thank you very much indeed to you for your text message. We'll get onto that one very shortly. Thanks also to all those that have been phoning in their thoughts. Lynette Abad of Property Finder reached out to us to share her experience before the show.
I had my aha moments with Anne in December before the holidays. I don't know if it's the nostalgia of the holidays where you realize you're not happy and you're going through a happy time through the holidays, and that's what gets people emotions going, literally leading up into Christmas Eve, where I decided that this is what I needed to do, meaning to divorce. The divorce happened a few months later.
One of the major concerns here for those going through times of doubt is a community that they would find themselves in post the divorce. Well, Lynette insists there is a community that divorcees can now lean on.
We have a lot of like Facebook groups for the communities. There's Facebook groups for solo moms. I'm on many personal WhatsApp groups of solo moms. And we would never have this in the US.
Alison, I want to get your thoughts on this one, because you are a solo parent here as well. Was that one of the reasons? I'm conscious of the fact that there was a large separation, both geographically and in terms of time, between you and your partner. But in terms of the reasons to put this in print, to make this legal, was the sort of, I don't want to use the word stigma because it isn't a stigma, but the idea of being a solo parent, was that one of the things that held you back from taking it further?
No, I think I first moved here, my daughter was very young, and I lived with his parents for
yep.
the first year, because I didn't know, I couldn't afford to, you know, live alone, pay rent or raise the kid. So it was a bit of convenience. I lived with them, you know. Then for about 1.5 years, then I lost my dad. So I have no parents now. So, you know, that was the third year. In the fourth year, I began a blog. So I think had I not to have started my blog, I may have looked at dating. But I'm happy I did what I did, because that resulted in different things for the last 2 years. But I'm now at a point where, you know, a lot of boxes have been ticked. I just need to get this paperwork done and take the next step to, you know, I'm not going to say look to meet someone. I believe when the time is right, that mm-hmm. will piece together.
Mm.
But no, I think it was just every year had a very, every year for me was very intense.
Yeah.
That there was no time to even think, which is why maybe I'm not unhappy today. I don't, you know, I've the blog came in at a right time for me. I think it was like a new baby where
blog must be quite cathartic for you as well, an ability for you to get emotions out and get the bitterness out if there is any bitterness.
Yeah. So I think I've come to realize that, You know, my dad, before he passed away, he said to me, I was so busy at one point because you wake up in the morning, I'm in sales. I'm literally in a man's world in what I do, which means you cannot switch off. You know, I don't have the liberty to be able to not deal with those things. I have to, I have to deliver numbers and things like this. So my dad, before he passed away, he said to me, you should be grateful you're really busy. Because I was so busy, there was no time to sit and ponder, to sit and feel low. When I look back now, I think, you know, it sounds crazy because I just didn't have any self-time and yet I was able to power through. So I think it's a gift. Strength is a big gift that I've been given. And because I was able to identify it, I just went with the flow, if that makes sense. I know it's not realistic. I know in the world we live in, people are used to venting or being unhappy and being loud about it. And I think that's the one thing I don't do. So do I feel? Yes. In a moment, if I'm feeling something, I'm able to process, put it in a box in my head. And I try not to let things spill over because I always knew I had this little child watching me. So I think, I would say this to a lot of solo women that it's not easy, but it's not impossible.
I just want to bring Anne into the conversation. Let's talk about the city that we're looking out on here, Dubai, the UAE as a whole. I mean, an element there. We all know it's a busy city. You know, it's a work hard, play hard city. We expect our time is everything here as well. You don't get much time to sort of rest on your laurels here. Is that a benefit when going through a divorce? Is my first question. But could it also be one of the reasons why we're seeing a peak in divorce numbers at the moment? Because people's eyes become open to other things.
Yes, both. I agree with both. So if you are in a high anxiety state or if you're going through sadness that might lead to depression, one of the really good things to have is routine. So to be able to go to work and to be able to take your mind away from your other problems and be able to have routine and have work. So work is good. So if work is keeping you busy, it's really, really good. You might need to take a week off or a few days off because it might be just too much and you can't go to work, but you go back to work and you have that routine. So that's very, very good. But one of the things is that people come here and for many, many reasons, the city opens their eyes to other things. Their job titles means that their egos start to get bigger, both for men and women. It's for both sexes. They think, oh, they can have something else. They also see this as playtown and that they can get away with things that they couldn't get away with elsewhere. And they don't have that community that they've been brought up with. So Lynette is right. There is a community out here, but you have to go and find it. So a lot of people turn up here and don't find a community. And then they think there's nobody watching them. They can kind of get away with stuff. It's not real. It's not going to affect them. Marriage. It's okay when they go back, everything will be fine. And I've seen so many couples who come here and have been happy for 20 years in their home country. There hasn't really been many problems. They didn't come with problems. And the problems have been created here because of the way that we live our lives. And if we know what the problems are going to be, we can avoid them. And one of the things I do is talks on to newly sort of wedded people or people who come here, how to avoid these traps. And the other thing there isn't here is there's no short... medium-term goals. Yeah. So there's short-term goals, which is like, where are we next going to go to brunch, for example? And there's long-term goals, which is how do I save up for my retirement and my pension? But there's no medium-term goals, especially as people aren't homeowners. So there's no like, shall we do the extension? Shall we paint the room? Shall medium-term goals keep families together and families find themselves without them here?
We've been looking at some of the statistics, and I don't know whether they're helpful in a discussion like this, Ahmad, but just in terms of it, from a legal standpoint, I mean, according to figures from the Abu Dhabi Statistics Centre, 30% of UAE divorces that took place in 2018 were dissolved within the first year of marriage. Now, given the fact that we've been talking about that hiatus as well, is that a worrying trend at the moment? And we've known that a number of authorities here have encouraged more mediation in recent times to try and get over problems.
Yeah, so I think the ultimate goal and the task for the mediation center, or certainly what we've seen, is that they are trying to get people back together. So they tell them, yes, the first year is tough, and how about you come back for a second session, go and try to discuss things between you and your wife, you and your husband, respectively. But at the end of the day, if the both parties are convinced that this is where they're going to go, it's a try, but it's not something that is they can oblige them to do. So the mediation centers do actually try to, their first task was to try and bring people back together. If they fail at that, then to try and reach an amicable settlement, because if it goes to court, it's costing the government money and it's a long, arduous journey at that point. So they do try to actually bring people together. Certainly for the most of the clients I've seen are past that 1 year, though. But maybe that's because it's reached such a tipping point that it's no longer amicable between them. Mm. And this is where, for example, Anne's discussions with them at the beginning help, just like she can guide them towards resolving their issues from before going to the courts and just taking that final step to get that divorce.
Yeah.
Feeling contentious? Want to add some context? Have your say and join the conversation on The Agenda.
Dubai I 103.8.
But you've been asking it for a while. You've been asking us to have a discussion, a considered discussion about all things divorce. We have delivered, and I can see why now, because we've had extraordinary response from listeners out there at the moment who are really benefiting from the experiences, the thoughts, the advice and the help of our three-person panel. Alison Rigo is a solo parent who has a six-year-old daughter and now going through a divorce. Anne Jackson, much respected relationship, marriage and divorce coach, co-founder of Leaves Dubai, a support group for divorcees here in the UAE, and Ahmed Al Khalil, the legal consultant and partner at Hamdan Al Shamsi Law Firm. Again, the thanks to each and every one of those. Talking of the comments, Zines, you've been fielding they?
Yes, so we actually had a phone call from a lady named Sarah. She sounded very emotional. She's about to file for divorce and she said that everything, all the emotions are still raw, but she'd like to thank Anne for her support, for making her realize the things that she should have realized before. She filed for divorce. She said that moving to Dubai sort of made a big difference in her marriage, not for the better. Thank you very much for sharing this comment, Sarah. She didn't want to come on air, but I thought I'd share that with you, Anne. And we've also got a question from Jay, which is such a valid point. A lot of people have been asking us this. I divorced in January, 2018, January. Would like to meet new people. Can I call myself single instead of divorced when meeting people for the first time, or would that be misleading? And that is from Jay. Jay is, by the way, a man.
Hi, Jay. I think I'll answer that one. At the beginning, you don't really need to say what your marital status is when you first meet someone. You don't need to shake their hand and say, hi, I'm divorced. They want to know your personality and they want to know what a lovely, warm person you are. Eventually, you will have to say you're divorced. You can't start a relationship on a foundation that's not true. But at the beginning, people are just looking to see, you know, if you like yourself, if you're happy with yourself, if you're a good person, if you're interesting. And divorce doesn't really seem to come into it. What I've seen are many, many people who are divorced have got remarried. I've been to some of the marriages here in the UAE, and they've met in all sorts of strange places. And they're happy, and it's because they were happy with themselves, so they don't mind themselves being divorced. There is no stigma, really. The stigma is when you think there's a stigma yourself.
Speaking of stigma, so Steve got in touch. He's a divorcee. He wants to point out how hard it is to find a new partner in life in Dubai. It's a very young society, and not a lot of people are prepared to deal with all that baggage when they meet them for the first time. And
here, singles here, particularly if you're sort of more mature age, it's not an easy place to go. It's not easy to meet people. You've got to do it within a social framework. And the complications are when you are divorced and you're single, by the mere fact of that, sometimes you are excluded from certain parts of a social gathering. Just an opinion. I run a business. I run a property maintenance business. It keeps me extremely busy. I haven't got a 9-to-5 job where I've got a lot of time to ponder and think. Happily divorced. That's me.
So, Steve, thank you very much indeed for that. Alison's going through a divorce at the moment. Was that one of the sort of considerations for you before you made the decision to make it legal after a long separation? In terms of what next, you know, what next for me?
That's a question on my mind now. But because I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and just going with the flow, I somewhere completely know when the time is right, it will happen. I don't know where, how, who, which, where, what, when. But I'm convinced that that will piece together like everything else has. So, yeah, it's a little bit of being very optimistic and belief in my own self. But I blinked and it's 5 years and growth has happened. And I'm sure that that person will We'll arrive from somewhere,
you know,
I don't know where.
You mentioned your blog a little bit earlier on. Is that still ongoing?
Yeah, it's called Pink Smart Ink. It's a parent lifestyle page. You know, I cover, you know, different things we do, things around Dubai. And I'm a big believer in, you know, you got to think happy. I try to promote happiness. I'm vegan as well. So that's on my page as well. So all of these things happened in the last 5 years too, which I think really took my mind off, you know, this whole divorce was on the back burner.
The negative side of things,
I don't know whether it's the way to do it or not, but I have friends that have gone through bitter divorces where they walked away with no settlement because they had narcissist partners. And the only thing I say to them is, you know, it's where you are right now and it's what I do with myself. So I can sit and cry and say I'm unhappy, I'm lonely, I'm, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and all of these things. Or I can sit and say, hey, you know what? I could write, so let's blog. And then via the blog, so many other things happened. Yeah. And then veganism came into my life. So I think it's really what we make of it.
Well, listen, all the best with the divorce proceedings as well. Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks to you as well, Anne. Loads of love pouring out for Anne throughout the entire show as well. A lot of very happy friends, clients and people that you've helped down the years joining us throughout the course of the show. I've got so many questions for you, Anne, but I suppose the one way to sort of finish up, well, first and foremost, how do people get in touch with you?
They can either go to onelifecoachingme.com and there is my phone number, or they can get in touch with me through Solo Mums, or they can go into the Leaves Dubai page. Any of them. Or I can give you my phone number. I don't know if...
It's fine. We can post it up there as well rather than you getting phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning from somebody who just wants to say hi. But just to wrap things up for us, I mean, what is your advice? There might be people out there listening at the moment who haven't pushed go on proceedings, but they've got doubts in their mind. What's your advice to them in divorce month?
Well, my first advice would be to come and see me.
Good. Yeah.
Because people do say to me all the time that they walk out with clarity. And that's what you need is clarity. You need clarity of thought. And if you go and see your friends or family, they've all got an invested interest in what they say to you. Whereas if you go to see somebody who's impartial, who will give you clarity of thought. And I don't always, you know, veer people towards divorce. I have lots of couples who I keep together, which I happily keep together. But that you just need to have clarity of thought of which way to go. Otherwise, thoughts are just spaghetti in your head and you can't get clarity.
Really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much indeed. And Ahmed, as well to you, thank you so much indeed for giving up your time to come on in and proffer some professional legal advice. Again, if people want to get in touch with Hamdan Al-Shamsi Law Firm through the website and the pages?
They can go through either the website or they can find us on LinkedIn. Our social media is available.
Yeah.
So they can find us
and
there.
If you've got a final little nugget of advice to people out there at the moment?
I mean, this is something that was said a few times. And like Anne said, clarity. Yeah. If when you approach the lawyer with clarity of thought and you tell us exactly what you want, instead of us jumping into the default mode of applying everything we think you need, you coming in and telling us exactly what it is that you're looking for, we can put that into action. So it's the clarity before coming and seeing us.
Thank you. Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks to all three of you for joining us on the divorce
Thank
panel.
You.
I think we'll probably have to do it again by the looks of things.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.